Well, I'm sure you're all aware that the time changed early this morning. The sun is going to go down earlier today. We're talking about 5:36 p.m. to be exact, and that's here in Augusta. We'll continue to lose daylight time until December 21st, when at that time our length of day will be 9 hours and 56 minutes. But let's compare that duration to Anchorage, Alaska. On December 21st, their daylight time will only total 5 hours and 27 minutes. I prefer the extra vitamin D that we get here, the extra sunlight. So praise the Lord for the sunlight. Well, we want to talk about light this morning. We're focusing on being a child of light, children of light, and what all that means, the ramifications of that in the past, in the present, and in the future. So spiritually speaking, walking describes our Christian experience. And the right kind of walking means we are imitating God. Think about that. When you walk aright, then you really are a personification of who God truly is. And I want to explain that, of course, in further detail. But the Bible speaks of God as our light and our salvation, as an everlasting light. God's word, as we just sang, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Lord Jesus himself is called the light of the nations. Oh, might that light shine here in our country. The true light which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He's called the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. And so the point is for Christians to imitate, to truly be a follower of God, of Christ, we must share in and reflect that light. That should be, if I could put it this way, our DNA. Now, in Scripture, the figurative use of light has two aspects. It has the intellectual and it has the moral feature. Intellectually, light represents truth, whereas morally, light represents holiness. And so to walk in the light, to imitate God, to be his follower, means we live the light of truth and holiness. We live this life. Friends, it is vitally important, therefore, how we live. It matters how Pastor Lane lives. It matters how you live. And I trust we will all be challenged today from God's word to walk in the light as Christ is in the light, that we will be a child of light. The world desperately needs to see this light, this truth, and this holiness. If I could put it this way, if they don't see this light, this life, this truth, this holiness in you, they won't see it. This light of life only comes through the believer. Well, our study this morning has three points. And point number one is what we once were. Point number two is what we are now. And point number three is what we hope to hear. The initial statement, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, is where we find our first point. And that is what we once were, meaning what we were before salvation. And verse 8 tells us, "For ye were sometime darkness." Prior to coming to Christ, prior to our new birth, we walked in darkness. And I'm sure all of us can remember that. We formerly were dead in trespasses and sins. And Paul further describes this past walk in a couple of chapters previous to this chapter 5. If you look at chapter 2, beginning with verse 2, we read these words, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Intellectually, the God of this world was blinding our minds so that we could not see the light of the gospel of the glory of God, this one who is the image of God. And thus, we had no spiritual discernment. And then morally, we did not put aside the deeds of darkness. We were servants of sin. And so intellectually and morally, we called evil good and good evil. We substituted light for darkness and darkness for light. And this reality is seen again in our text in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, where we see the verb were is not modified by a preposition such as in or out. Rather, the text here plainly states that prior to salvation, we were darkness. Not just that we were in darkness for a while and then we got out of darkness. One day we did okay and the next day we didn't do so good. One day we lived good lives and the next day we lived bad lives. No, the text actually says we were darkness. We were, as Ephesians 5, 6 states, the children of disobedience. We were not just victims of the God of this world, we were contributors to it. Our very nature was characterized by sin. We truly did walk in darkness. We loved darkness rather than light because our deeds were evil. Does not that describe what we were before salvation? You know, one thing about the Word of God, it just pegs us. It tells us exactly what the truth really is about who we are. We were darkness. We come now to point number 2. We were darkness, but now we are, think about this contrast, we are light in the Lord. The darkness of space, the brightness of the sun, just a simple illustration of this contrast, this difference between spiritual birth from darkness to light, from death to life. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we have been quickened. We have been made alive. Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And therefore, we now walk as children of light. We were darkness. Now we can walk as children of light. Might that grip your heart? You can sometimes talk to a person. I mean, I used to be able to talk to people all the time on airplanes. Now they might be 2-3 rows behind you or over to your right or to your left. But oftentimes when I would talk to strangers, it wouldn't be long for me to know, well, this person really is a Christian. And you know, oftentimes how that was evident by the light I saw on their faces. There's a certain light that shines from someone who truly has the light of life living in them. Amen? But because we now share Christ's own nature, we share in his light. We live in the reality of the one who is the light of the world. As his people, we then become as well the light of the world. And what a beautiful thing. I think his name is John James. He's running for the Senate in Michigan. And he is this dynamic individual. And he has this kind of this glow on his face. You know, you kind of wonder, is this person a Christian or not? And then I read some of his bio where he said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord and my God. And I thought, well, sure, that makes sense. You know, he looked, he talked like a Christian. And that's the way it should be with us. There should be no doubt when people look at you whether you're a Christian or not. I mean, can you tell if there's a light on in the room? I mean, if we turn the lights off in this room, you could immediately tell there weren't lights shining. It would take on a darkness. Friends, when you pass from death to life, when you pass from darkness to light, it should be very obvious. There should be no question in your spouse's mind and heart, in your children's minds and hearts, in your parents' minds and hearts, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. A light set on a hill, remember, cannot be what? Can't be hidden. It cannot be hidden. So what a beautiful thing again when we are children of light. And this light then becomes a radiant light as we manifest certain fruit, certain results of the fact that we are now not darkness, but light. We are light in the Lord. And we see this fruit in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of this light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The three supreme characteristics of our walk as children of light, again, are goodness, our righteousness, and truth. I want to briefly look at each of these fruits. And the first, again, is goodness. Now, there are a number of Greek words which are translated good or goodness in the New Testament. And one means that which is intrinsically good. It's an innately good. It's good in itself. It's beautiful. It's honorable. It's free from defects. And then there's a second Greek word for good, and that is something that is pleasant, something that's useful, suitable, worthy. But the Greek word used here in verse 9 refers to moral excellence. Like agape love, the Christian manifesting this goodness always seeks after that which is valuable, worthy, and satisfying, meaning there is a willing and sacrificial heart behind this fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. What's the next one? Goodness. Goodness. I was thinking about how can I simply separate the difference between the first two Greek words for goodness and this third one. And I came up with this. So whatever, I hope it's helpful. But this goodness in this third Greek word is not something, it's someone. The goodness is not in something that we can tangibly hold in our hands, so to speak, but it's in a life that's being lived before others. In other words, we're talking about a good life. A good life. And oh, what a blessing such a spiritual walk is in the lives of others. They see then and they experience then the light of life. They see and they become the recipients of this goodness. They come to know what Jesus is like. They see Jesus in you because they see goodness in you. As I've often said, You can't hide love, and you can't hide a cough. You hear my coughs all the time. So I can't hide that cough, but I hope I can't hide that love, that goodness. What the world needs to see is goodness. They see everything else. They see hatred. They see that which is destructive. They see that which harms. They see that which destroys. They see that which tears down. They need to see goodness. And that goodness is seen when they see light, when they see the light of Jesus in you. That's one reason I love to be around Christians. I love that goodness to kind of rub off on me. How many of you like to be the recipient of goodness? I surely do. I want to be around someone I feel love from. I want to be around someone I feel goodness coming from their heart to mine. And I hope I love that person enough that I want to show that goodness, that love from my heart to theirs. Can we imagine what a church would be like if everyone was walking in the light? We couldn't wait to get together. We couldn't wait to share our love, our goodness that Jesus has given to us with others. Oh, what a beautiful thing to walk in the light. Amen. And then the second fruit of the believer walking in the light is righteousness. And of course, they all go together. But this practical righteousness speaks on how we are to live, meaning we are to pursue, we are to run after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us that the members of our body are to be instruments of righteousness unto God. I'll tell you, one of the blessings of being around a righteous person is that you are then around a peace-filled person. Not an angry person, not a vindictive person, not an I've got to get even person, but a peace-filled person. What a testimony to see every day living that is godly. Again, the person, the Christian walking in the light, says no to the darkness of sin and yes to the light of Christ. And then the third fruit of light is truth. And this truth has to do with being honest, reliable, trustworthy, someone who keeps their word, being a person and possessing integrity. You pay your bills, which is in sharp contrast to someone having a hypocritical, deceptive, and false spirit. And how valuable a truth-filled life is. For then there is the foundation upon which this goodness and righteousness can thrive. Friends, if you don't have truth as the foundation of your life, you have nothing to build that goodness and that righteousness on. But when there's that truth, then there's good soil. You have a heart filled with good soil. And such a heart bears what? It bears fruit. It bears fruit. And so these three manifestations of a believer walking in the light cover beautifully all of life's relationships. For example, the fruit of goodness pertains primarily to our relationship with others, while righteousness pertains primarily to our relationship to God. And truth refers to a great degree our relationship to ourselves, to personal integrity. We speak the truth. We speak it in love, but we speak the truth. And when we continue learning in our Christian walk to grow in goodness, righteousness, and truth, as verse 10 tells us, then we demonstrate what is acceptable, what is pleasing unto the Lord. What are we doing? Simply, we're living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We have a clear conscience before God. Again, we're walking in goodness and righteousness and truth. What a vibrant and powerful witness such a life is to this dark and evil world around us. We are bearing resemblance to our Father and Savior. We become like the one who is our light and our salvation. And so our walk in the light becomes then a worthy walk. Ephesians 4:1, we walk in newness of life, which means we walk in love, Ephesians 5:21. We walk in wisdom, Ephesians 5:15. We walk honestly, 1 Thessalonians 4:10. We walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk humbly, Micah 6, verse 8. We walk obediently, 2 John 6. And all because we are walking in the Spirit. We are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And like Abraham, we walk before God with an upright, mature, and sincere heart. What we were darkness. What are we now? We're light in the Lord. And again, when you walk into a room and you turn on the light, what do you see? You see light. And friends, when Jesus is truly your Savior, when you're walking in the light, that light will be seen. And how necessary it is for that light to be seen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And really, it's not so much they see your good works, but they see what God is like. I want people who cross my path to see how wonderful Jesus truly is, that he is full of grace and truth, and that my life resembles as well. My imperfections resemble as well the fact that I too, am, as his follower, are full of grace and truth. Which brings us to our last point, and that is what we will hear, what we will hope to hear, what we will hear when we walk in the light. Well, let's look first at the life of Enoch. And Enoch had the testimony that he walked with God. What a testimony. Enoch was that man who walked with God. He had that witness. And because this Hall of Faith man walked with God, remember, he pleased God for 300 years. He remained faithful to God for 300 years. That says a lot right there. God did something really unique. Enoch did not physically die because God translated him that he should not see death. What a glorious thing. Now, whether you and I are physically alive at the rapture, the church remains to be seen. My dad always said, I want to see the upper taker before I see the undertaker. And you know, I do too. But whether we do or not, the point is we as believers who live like Abraham, like Enoch, like Paul, who penned Ephesians 5, and as we'll see, like the faithful members of the church of Sardis, who did not defile their garments, who walked in the light, Christ promises that we shall walk with him in white, for we are worthy. We will walk in the same garments as Christ. We will be given heavenly white garments that speak of festivity, that speak of victory, that speak of purity. And then Christ will say of us, I confess your names before my Father and before my angels. And this statement to me is so powerful. For Christ's followers who have walked faithfully in the light of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Walking now in this way means in glory, Jesus will forever acknowledge, he will forever declare our names to the Father, which will be witnessed by all the holy angels. You talk about real and lasting congratulations. Here it is. You know, we like that pat on the back. How long does that last? I mean, maybe you get a promotion. How long maybe will that last? Maybe you get that bonus check. How long does that last? Those bonus checks are usually spent pretty quickly, amen? But here is a lasting and real congratulations. Jesus will say to his Father, Father, here's a man, here's a woman, here's a young person who walked in the light. They sought to imitate me. They were in continual fellowship with me. 1 John 1:7 says, and walk in the light as Christ is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Remember that verse, in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. They were in fellowship. This person was in fellowship with me as I am in the light. And these worthy walkers will then hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well done. Well done. It's one thing to hear well done from your boss, from your spouse. It's one thing to say well done to your child. And we need to hear that. We do. But it's another huge step up when you hear well done from God himself. That matters. In fact, that will be eternal. Be able to know in your heart that it's all God's grace. But to be able to know in your heart that in spite of all the trials and the difficulties and the hardships and the disappointments of life, by God's grace, I was a good and faithful servant of the living God. That is powerful. And that is living. We watch these football games, and I was pulling for Georgia, pulling for Clemson. But I was glad they won. But what's going to happen next week? What if they don't win? Is my life going to go down the tubes? Am I going to throw up my hands and, oh, woe is me? I mean, this election, I mean, I have preferences. I'm praying. I don't know who's going to win, to be very frank with you, but I know who wins in the end. I know that my God reigns. Praise God. I mean, can you imagine putting all your eggs in some politician's basket and then they lose? I mean, that's going to happen. What do you do? What do I do? My God reigns, and I follow him. Friends, walking in the light has amazing rewards for this life and the life to come. Again, this world is so evil. It's so dark. It so desperately needs, believers in Christ who will let their light so shine before men. Maybe one reason why we don't see more people come to Jesus is because they think, well, what good is it to come to Jesus? Maybe they don't see that goodness and righteousness and truth. I mean, I would hope my life, I would hope your life would so live that when they see you, they say, wow, that person lives. The contrast between being dead in sins and alive in Christ. Being dark, your life is dark, and now your life is light. Wow! How many of you like to walk in your home when it's dark and you stumble and you run into doors and you trip over rugs and you fall on your face? I mean, I love to turn on lights so I can see where I'm going. Ladies and gentlemen, when you walk in the light, you see where you're going. What a beautiful thing. Oh, might others see in you and see in me the goodness, the righteousness, and the truth that's only found in Jesus Christ, the hope of this world. And so again, as we close, we've talked about what we once were. Let me ask you, have you acknowledged that your nature apart from Christ is total darkness? And then have you accepted Christ, the light of life? I hope you have. I pray you have. And then two, what we are now. Right now, do you have a walk of goodness and righteousness and truth? Not because of who you are, but because of the power of the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God living his life through you, proving to others what is pleasing to the Lord. Are you walking worthy of the Lord and while pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God? And then number three, what we will hear. I hope you can join me. I long to hear the words of Christ, my light and my salvation, saying to me, and honestly, I want him to say to you, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Can I be very candid with you? Why do I even preach a message like this? Because I want one day for Jesus to say to you, not just to me, but to you, well done. You know, life is tough. We all know that. Sometimes I just feel so burdened. Do you know that most of the news I get is someone's in the hospital, someone has just been diagnosed with cancer, someone has just died, someone's maybe going through a divorce. That's the news I hear. But you know what? I'm thankful that I have a God upon whom I can cast my burdens and cast your burdens. A God who loves you and who cares for you. And I want to encourage you, as I hope to encourage my own heart, it's worth it to walk in the light. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Say it with me. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let's bravely run this race till we see Christ. Let's rejoice in the truth of Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Friends, that day is coming when we will forever walk in divine light. There won't be any need for daylight saving time. We'll never have to set our alarm again and get up in the middle of the night. My wife loves to take the 5:45 or 6:30 flights out of Augusta. She just loves that. She loves to get up at 4 in the morning. You know, there'll be no night. I mean, we'll never experience darkness. We'll never experience light because Jesus forever will be the light of this universe. What a glorious hope. What we have to look forward to. I say, let's walk in his light even now.